I think I'd like to see if there's any questions from the lab.
Yes, I do have a question. So,
let me ask from the lab first.
Okay, so are you saying then that this actually guarantees 50% for that 50% of the lab would be white by having a minimum of 50%?
No, not necessarily.
In other words, okay.
No. Because let's take it the other way around. Let's say that the people of color were the first being elected, and the requirement is not that you have at least 50% whites. I mean, if the board were only 10% white male, and it was the rest women of color, the bylaws allow that, as I understand.
But does the voting mechanism favor having to go to the 50% white before it considers the proportional?
It all depends on how people vote.
It's a misnomer, I would say.
But would you say then that it's your composition of candidates that would best favor the diversity?
Well, it's the composition of the candidates and the composition of the electorate.
The electorate.
And what the electorate's concerns are. I mean, there's a great mix of concerns about content of programming and about cultural diversity and political perspectives and a number of other interests. So people are not going to be voting. People are not necessarily going to be voting on one criteria. There are going to be many criteria, and they're depending on who's voting. They're going to have a different reason for voting.
Okay. Wait a minute. Okay. Dave, Casey, why don't you sit and we're going to go back and forth with you.
That's fine.
Dave, why don't you go next?
Lydia, I have an important technical question to be clarified on STD voting.
You can ask next.
May I ask him
now? You can ask. No, you can't. Because Dave had his.
I'll cede to Bernie's technical question.
Then he will cede, and then we'll go. He's ceding to you.
Well, it might be the same question, but so again, my understanding about the way single transferable voting works is that let's say you have a majority group that their votes once the if you have a limit on the number of seats that people out of that majority sector can fill, that the remaining votes do cascade down to the other candidates, right? So you could still have the effect where the majority pool dominates the voting for the minority candidates. Is that accurate?
Like I said, it all depends on the turnout, the outreach and the turnout. It depends on who's voting. If 90% of the people voting are white males, then yes.
Okay,
there's a different way of handling it. If you said, well, we're just going to separate it and have different categories. We're going to have three seats that are set aside for white males, and so on, have different seats specified, and then you can have the electorate for each.
That's not what we're talking about doing. No, the point I wanted to make is that here in KPFK land, there's an issue. I mean, we've been talking about ethnicity, but particularly, I think, in this issue, there's another issue, which is the relationship, particularly within the progressive sectors, in terms of their feeling about the issue of nationalism. And so, for example, in the African-American community, and particularly among African-American programmers at KPFK, the nationalist perspective was one of the strong strains in that programming. And there's a great deal of hostility towards that kind of nationalism from various sectors, not just of the white left, but also in certain sectors of people of color, if I'm correct. I don't understand. So now the point is that given that that's a sector of the community, there's a question of whether people with a nationalist perspective would end up with any representation on the board in a situation in which you had a majority electorate hostile to nationalist perspective. So you could very well get ethnic diversity and not get that representation of that sector, which had a strong commitment to the station.
On a board of 24 people, you're not going to possibly get the diversity on politics, views, ethnicity, race, gender, etc.
Are you talking about a board of 24 people?
Well, we're talking about 18 elected by the listeners.
Okay, 18 elected by the listeners. So that really means it would take about 5%. The threshold would be just over 5%, let's say 6%. So if you have 6% of the voters who have the nationalist perspective at, to think that that's really important to have that voice on the board, then that 6% will elect somebody.
But they're arguing that what if you have three candidates from that pool split?
Well, that's the exact purpose of single transferable vote, and this is one of the failures of cumulative voting, because if you put all your votes in one candidate and other people bring all their votes in a different candidate, then you can split your votes. But with a single transferable vote, if one of those candidates gets eliminated, and the
cascades up.
Their perspective is, you know, that the most important thing is the nationalist voice, then they'll be voting for somebody with a similar perspective. And so though one candidate gets eliminated, those ballots get transferred to each voter's next choice, which presumably would be somebody with the same perspective. So there's a much higher likelihood of those votes being effective and of that perspective being represented.
Okay. Bernie, Roger, and then we're going to go to the general listenership, and I hope that the committee will respect that.
This will be very short.
It's
technical. It has nothing to do with sectors, ethnicity, nationality, or anything like that. It's really very technical. Casey, if you count the votes in a certain sequence and five people get elected that meet the requirements for election, and then you recount the votes from the opposite sequence, isn't it possible that five different people will get elected?
No. And I'll tell you why. It's not like a district system where you change the lines and different people can get elected. You have a certain number of ballots, and no matter how you count them, you have first preference for one candidate, so many first preferences for one candidate, so many first preferences for another candidate, etc. The only vote that counts at first is the number one vote on each voter's ballot. Only when and any candidate who reaches the threshold of, let's say, 6%.
That's the different threshold that we've been talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but I'm
using the electoral threshold. That is, it's approximately the reciprocal of the number of seats to be filled. So that would be 1/18th of the vote. Actually, it's 1/19th of the vote plus one vote is what the threshold would be for election. And so anybody who meets that is elected. If they go beyond that, you have one particularly popular candidate, somebody, a programmer who everybody likes their show, whatever, then the excess votes are distributed to the subsequent choices of those different ballots. And so that there you don't have the phenomenon of wasted ballots. And so no matter how you count the votes, it all ends up the same, because it doesn't matter in which order you get the votes, because they all add up to the same. You only have, you know, whoever has so many first place votes, that determines their standing. And if somebody has more first place votes than somebody else, the other person gets eliminated first.
Let me try to clarify. I have person A and B. You count the votes in a certain sequence, and persons A and B reach that electoral threshold. They're elected, okay? And whatever else happens. I'm not concerned with the rest of it. Now I decide to count the votes totally in a different order, and candidates X and Y reach that threshold.
First,
before you count the votes for A and B.
No, well, first you
see what I'm getting at.
What you count,
but first you count all the ballots, and you just find out what the first place votes are for, and you count all of them. It doesn't matter what order in, because you don't make any transfers until you've counted all the ballots, and then you transfer excess votes of people who've been elected, and after that you find out who are the candidates with the least votes, and then those get eliminated, and it isn't until you count all of the ballots that you start eliminating people. So nobody's going to be eliminated under one count and not another, because you have to count all the ballots first. It isn't as they come in, and with the NBC calling their estimates, you know. Just, yeah.
Okay. Casey. Oh, yeah, Roger is next. Go ahead.
Quick question. Is it possible for people to subvert this, say, as a group, by
the roles?
Voting.
By voting only for one choice. In other words, there'd be no second choices to be transferred from all of those people.
Well, they would only be subverting their own choice. Because what it would mean is if their favorite candidate got eliminated, that they would not have any influence on who actually did get elected. So you'd only be hurting yourself by not filling out the ballot more completely.
It's called vote voting.
Okay. Now we're going to go. Do you have to talk?
No.
Okay, good. We're going to move to listener comment. We're moving right along. And then we need a final straw vote, although the other one was pretty conclusive.
Please, I have...
What?
I have what I consider an important point.
You have an issue? Okay, and you can't listen to the listeners for this? I mean, your committee has spent over and over again.
Let's share.
I can share the mic.
How many people want to hear Harrison before you go to public comment? Okay, Harrison. Just make sure Raphael hasn't rubbed off on you time-wise.
That's okay. Lydia rubbed off on me. So
no, I didn't.
Trust me. Like it's personal. Thank you very much for your indulgence. I'd like to go back. First of all, I'd like to say that there's two kinds of thresholds being talked about here. I've always been talking about what I'm now going to call diversity thresholds, which is the thresholds that Dave explained a little while ago. And I want to go back to what Casey said, that at KPFA, some people were elected with very, very few votes because they activated the diversity requirement. And for that reason, because they were displeased with the outcome, they instituted the notion of a diversity threshold. I think they should have allowed that process to work without monkeying with it. Because what would have happened was that better candidates would have realized that, look, you actually can get elected here. And so it would have worked if they'd have let it continue.
Okay. So, okay, next. Yes, Deli.
If President Nkrumah was not sitting on the board, on the lab, as at this moment, it means there will be no black representation on the lab.
There was also on the board. And Michael Zinzen.
Michael Zinzen.
It was seven meetings. I have not seen Michael Zinzen in any of the meetings, and it is disingenuous and almost fraudulent for anyone to suggest that as at this moment in the history of this lab that any other black person is participating in the affairs of the lab. It is not just true. It is not true. Which speaks to the question of disenfranchisement, and that is linked to the whole dialogue or debate that we are having here this evening. This is a very crucial moment in the history of activism in KPFK, and this provision called, is it the threshold provision? It sounds like a little of a neo-colonialism to me. It smells like it, and when I talk of neo-colonialism, I know what I am talking about. Coming from Africa, I know how it smells, how it looks, and how it feels. I would want to maybe retain one more minute to speak at the end of this comment, because we have a letter that we are sending through Kwasi Nkrumah from the South Central community demanding some explanations as to how the process of the empowerment of communities of colors is taking place under this very discussion that we are having. But I really want to understand this, why the necessity for the threshold provision. And I want to know what is the position of the local advisory board so that we can take a message back to our community as to what the stand of this land is on the question of the diversity provision as far as this dialogue is concerned.
Well, that's what we're trying to find out, actually. But anyway, so next is Pope.
I didn't say anything, but since you called me,
you signed up.
You know, why is it that white Americans don't identify themselves by ethnicities? Surely the Irish American has something to say by his English pal. No. And when they start clinging to that, when they're all white, really, like they've been in, like they've been that way for centuries here in this country and other countries, clinging together and projecting a white 100% community, that in itself is the most racist thing. And at this time in history, when I have witnessed in my 70 years 60 countries independent with black power, I participated in two wars in Asia where Japan started the ball rolling and knocked those white assholes out of what they were doing there. And, you know, don't be hurt if you're white, because you have no business over there genociding Aboriginal people or Asians that have lived there since time immemorial. Who in the hell do you think you are? And we people of indigenous descent here, we don't even have a country where we're in the majority. We're fiddle-screwing around here in L.A. while the Maya mother is being genocided every day. Not a chance of a snowball in hell to get out of that dirty, filthy white racism that's been all over the planet. When are you guys
going to change?
Change. When are you going to change?
We're working on it.
Then this looks like more of the same stuff.
Okay, Mansoor? Okay, he says, okay. Dan, and I don't know which Dan's we're going to have to get. Which Dan is this? Is this you, Dan, or your Dan? It's got to be you, Dan.
No, this is you,
Dan. So I can flip to the rear, huh?
Here.
Okay.
Little Dan diversity.
And then it's Gordon.
Go,
I have a difficult time. Being both Native American and raised as a white man in a white culture that I understand quite well, I've had to relearn my roots in the Indian community. The problem is that all white men are not guilty. Most white men are not guilty. Most white men are fools at worst.
Or at best.
We have a situation in this country or in the Western world. It's a class situation. I don't see Kay here to cheer me on.
Or the Mary Carol Spooner, right?
It's a class situation. It's a severe situation since this particular class, which is very small in this country, about 1%, is now globally eating the world. It is gridlocking all world resources, moving quickly, is raping the United States of its own internal economy, pension funds, etc., in these bear raid operations in Wall Street. It is perpetuating a war in Central Asia that is designed to lock up Central Asia under our control in preparation for a war with China.
I'm sorry.
But he did give up his time before.
Go ahead.
Okay. What I'm getting at is that the real problem here is this 1% class. This is what we should really look at, to fight amongst ourselves and cannibalize good human beings who many white people are good. I went through the entire 60s. In which that's all I worked with, basically, were white people in the movement, because we were pretty much separated at that time. And they were damn good people. We ended up getting cannibalized internally by the Women's Liberation Movement, which ate.
Okay, now I will cut you off. Yeah, we need to. I would like to. Okay, you can finish the statement, but I would like to. But I would like to remind everyone that we need to stay on point. Please make your comments relative to the question. We're trying to vote up or down the hybrid model. Okay? That is our point. No, we never took the final vote. Oh, right, the alternative of the diversity requirements. But what I'm saying, we still have to do our final vote on that. Three people said they would be affected by what the other models were. So if we could go to that, please, standpoint. Thank you.
We seem to have been making an assumption here that people vote according to their colors. I don't vote that way, and I believe there are many other people who don't do the same. For example, if I was to say vote for Kwasi, I don't vote for him because he's black, but because I think he's the most qualified candidate. And I recognize there are some people who don't vote that way, and that's why we need these corrective measures. But we need to be careful how we do it. For this reason, I think that thresholds are necessary. Second point, the single transferable vote works great when there's just one candidate. Mm-hmm. However, when there's more than one candidate, it starts to break down. And the more candidates it gets, the worse it gets. The problem is this. If a candidate gets a lot of second choice votes, but no first choice votes, in instant runoff voting, he or she might win. In single transferable voting, he or she never advances because of the low first choice showing. This is because you only get a single vote to transfer. My third point, the way this diversity proposal is written, the board will always be majority women. Now, I have no problem working with majority women, whether I'm on the board or under it. However, I do have a problem with mandating that the board be majority women and minority men. Just as I have a problem with a system that mandates majority men or that always or nearly always results in such a majority. I agree that we need a balancing mechanism because our culture somehow nearly always gets male dominations in places of power. However, this one is not it. I would advise that we keep searching. Even if we choose this one temporarily, we must keep looking for something better.
Okay. Thank you. And Gordon?
Oh, Gordon. No, I'm just happy that USC beat Notre Dame.
Okay. Utaka?
He's gone.
Okay. Israel?
Well, we're sort of in a swamp or morass or lost in the forest because we're confused with our particular trees. It's nothing new, but sad to see it happening again. We need to make some progress. I think one thing, some definitions, a clarification. Instant runoff voting is a relatively new term, and there isn't just one kind. I'll mention another kind. It's something that I call approval, disapproval, approval voting. I'm not advocating, just commenting. Where you can vote yes or no for or against any or all candidates. That's another variety of instant runoff voting. And STV, which is single, not standard or simple, obviously not simple for our discussion today, transferable voting, has problems. But all voting systems have problems. Kenneth Arrow, ring any bells to you? You know what I'm talking about. He and others have established pretty satisfactorily that there's no such thing as a perfect voting system that satisfies everybody's requirements or needs. Once we understand that, then we're looking for some system that will satisfy our needs if we can consensually agree what our needs are. And I would suggest they don't center around race or ethnicity, but rather around a content of programming, politics in the broader sense of the word, which has only been touched on once or twice today. I think David Adelson touched on it briefly, and something else mentioned, class. These, in short, we need to try to arrive at some consensus of the nature of our programming. It is a radio station we're talking about, not a political party, not a cult, religious cult, not a club. That's very important. In short, we need to have a larger view of the forest. What are we about? What do we want to achieve? And then, what kind of structure, then what kind of voting system, if any, is suitable to achieve that? And by trial and error and experiment, not forever. But unless we have a larger picture and categories and definitions in mind, we'll get bogged down in the kind of things we have here. And who's to say who's right or wrong or better or worse? It's a swamp. It's a morass, and we need to get out of it by seeing the larger picture and then systematically and thoughtfully and rationally setting up structures and processes that will get us there.
Okay, now I'm going to take the last and final straw vote on the hybrid model.
Luis.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Luis.
Yeah. I thought he was already spoke. I thought he spoke.
I thought you yes, but I thought you already spoke in that way. Oh, you're doing it as a listener now? We call two for two.
Okay,
for
as a progressive community, I think we are going to have to learn to bridge national and class issues, and I think we have a lot of experience to do that in the future, and I think this is why this is so important. As Dali said, living in occupied Mexico, I too have a lot of experience with neocolonialism, and we can smell that a mile away, and that's how I feel about diversity thresholds. If we have a requirement of that 50% of the candidates be communities of color, and also that we get rid of a threshold such as you have to have 50% or one-third of the votes in order to be eligible to move up into an elected candidate, then I think we can have something that we can all work with. So we need to get rid of that diversity threshold where you have to have a certain minimum number of votes in order to have those other cascading votes be applied to you to get elected.
Okay. So if,
can I
pardon?
Comment?
Yeah, you're bored. You're okay. What?
I had reserved half a minute.
No, he didn't. He used his whole time.
Yeah, go for it. Let him.
Okay. All those in favor of hearing 30 seconds. Okay, Dali. Dali, and then go to lab comments before the to Doug before we take about 30 seconds.
I am on record at one or two lab meetings. As an individual and representative of a community, I am very hesitant to ever stigmatize individuals or a group of people as racist. People know me, friends in this place, they know my position on that. And as a journalist, having traveled all over the world, Northern Ireland, Belfast, Lebanon, everywhere you can think of, and as the coordinating secretary of a group of 120 countries that met in Sofia, Bulgaria in 1986 under the Progressive Alliance of Journalists, I have worked with people of all races. If Casey Peter is here, we were co-coordinators of a group called the People's Convention, which means we believe in the building the involvement of a global community. You cannot fault me on
Excuse
that.
Me, another
but
30
please, I want to make this appeal very strongly
okay.
that in whatever straw post we are taking, whether it is binding or non-binding, excuse me, whether it is binding or non-binding disruptors, I strongly appeal that the diversity provision should be so strong that it should be a mandate. This is the position that history will expect you to take.
Okay. And, okay, now we have two lab members. Leslie was first. She had deferred.
Was on the sign-up list.
Oh, my God. We can't keep, like, reinventing this.
What we did when people spoke, then they...
We are not ignoring the list. We wrote down every single name.
So I spoke on behalf of...
And now you're signing up as a listener?
Well, I just gave him the right to do that, and I would like to say...
Okay, and so we were... Okay, and from now on, then the rule is going to be that you speak as a committee member, or you pick one of the two. You can't have double speaking privileges, okay? Here, you will be the last one.
Yeah, and we're pretty much...
Well, Bernie should always have double speaking privileges.
We have to vote.
No. All speaking privileges will be taken away.
Thank you, Dave, very much. I appreciate your support.
Go ahead.
And confidence.
You're
welcome. Bernie, I think that's an outrageous decision that you just made, and
Bernie,
I'd like to see the lab.
Those people do not have double privileges. Just
okay.
speak.
Well, I just want to simply
which is
say,
endless.
I'm going to make it simply. You know,
okay.
You got to let people speak.
Okay.
You know, you just can't cut them off.
Do it.
I'm doing it. I just want to support the position that says the diversity threshold destroys the impetus, the structure, and the reality of what we want to achieve, which is diversity. Thank you.
Okay. Leslie, and then Doug.
I believe we're coming to a vote again on the hybrid model, which seems a little strange at the end of this conversation about the KPFA model. And I'm willing to go to that vote at this time, but I think the discussion about the KPFA model is not yet finished.
No, it's not.
We've certainly talked about the diversity threshold, but I think there are more issues surrounding standard transferable voting, cumulative voting that Israel Lerner and Faramarz have brought up. I would like to see, and I hope we're going to, a yes or no vote on the hybrid and a yes or no vote on the KPFA model, and that those two votes are understood as separate by everybody on this lab.
A point. I want to make a comment. Just one.
I'd like to make a comment.
I haven't said much today, and I'm, for me, diversity, and I like to try to speak for the people I live among, would be, I'd like to see a couple of seats on these labs and a couple of seats on the national board expressly for people who could qualify in four of these 12 points. A single mother or father with DPSS support of all the children in their household. No current driver's license or suspended license to operate a motor vehicle. No on parole or probation or refused parole or probation in the last 3 years. Total monies received in three of the last 3 years below federal poverty line. No bank account or savings account in three of the last 10 years, without any credit history or credit card within 10 years. 90% of my productive week is not recognized under Keynesian economics or free trade. Three of the following 10, growing own food, growing others' food, barter and trade, volunteer work, housework, home care of my elderly family members, household care of my own children, religious work without compensation, invention and product development, music, busking, panhandling, LAPD or LASD gang member list, registered sex offender, veteran of Cambodia, the Gulf conflict, Vietnam with 50% disability. Pay phones are my only access outside my mother's home. Pay restrooms are my only restrooms outside my mother's home. Six months in the last 3 years on food stamps or general relief.
All right, I'll go for that.
What about vegans, man?
How many?
Okay,
Don. Where are you? Four out of 12. Don,
Quasi, and then Tom. Got a category for paranoids, too. Obsessive compulsives.
Most of us call them.
That's not.
Wait. Everybody, come on. Let's not break up now.
Let's
no mention disabled.
No, I think going to these votes is appropriate. I do want to go back to something Harrison said earlier, and that is this board is on record over some issues already. So when we vote on the hybrid and the KPFA model, we have to be cognizant that we're already on record around some issues that the board would have to go back and look at. The thing on diversity, I think that because votes cascade down, I think all we have to be clear about is that there not be a diversity threshold before those votes cascade. That to me, I would... No? Is that...
Mm-mm, that's not what he's saying.
What we have to have is diversity requirements.
No, the requirements we will have.
Any way that it could...
That is right. I support that absolutely. But people have been talking about having requirements and not achieving the requirements. That cannot be tolerated. In other words, if you have requirements, then the voting process has to be compatible so that those requirements, which are met.
So no one-third threshold.
No, yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah,
I think we're pretty...
Yeah. Let me make a comment on that, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be sorry. Okay, now you have been good for 5 minutes. Quasi? And then Tom.
I think Don pretty much said what I want to say, which is, I'll say this, that out of the discussion, I'm convinced that probably we should go with the KPFA model, but with the proviso that this question of threshold not be part of that, so we'd have to amend that or have to make some stipulation in that regard. I mean, I'm very convinced by what Harrison and several other people said, that the threshold thing is an unnecessary and problematic barrier.
Right. Okay.
And I would like to see us vote on the KPFA model. And we've already gone through two votes on the other model. I'd like us to vote on the KPFK model and make a turn.
Okay.
I
just want to clarify the point. That would have to be discussed. I am not proposing that we vote on the KPFA model because most of the other models that are on the table address a whole slew of other issues that we would need to examine within the KPFA model. The only thing that we're voting right now on the table is whether to vote up or down on the hybrid model. And then I think we could probably even take a straw poll in terms of the KPFA model with the one-third threshold, you know, to remove that. That would just be one component of the many issues that we have with the KPFA model. So,
Lydia, can I just...
Wait, who was next? Tom, Dave, and then Farah.
I think some of us have forgotten that we did, as a lab, vote for a unity proposal that had certain things in it, and also... PAC had some stuff too, and I what I'm proposing is that if the New York or diversity model goes down, that KPFA has many little aspects that a lot of us are not happy with, and I think we should have when the House and the Senate pass a bill, they put them together.
Yeah,
they go into conference, and I think we need to do that with the KPFA and KPFK models. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm recommending, and we don't have to, we can't have that vote today, clearly. But okay, Tom, Dave, Farah. Okay, so it's Dave, Farah, and then Gordon, who had deferred his time earlier.
There's always diversity is a consequence of involvement, not merely of voting, and we need to take it from the front end, and we need to do the outreach. As I've said many times, People's College of Law always achieved the two-thirds. In fact, the former chair of People's College of Law, Jose Vera, is here, and he'll testify that, you know, we achieved it, but only because it was in front of us at all times. Jose, raise your hand. One of the original chairs of People's College of Law, and because of him, I'm sitting here. In any event, so you can blame him, kids. The point is that it's about outreach, and so we can talk all this that we want. But we need to have, and with or without thresholds, and something that Jose brought up, and it's we've been talking about this bit by bit, in the event there is an election, with or without thresholds, and we don't achieve diversity, whether it's 50% or two-thirds, whatever, then the election should be annulled and recast. And with that prospect, and that onerous prospect of having to recast an election for failure to having achieved these thresholds, I think that would hopefully motivate those of us who are otherwise too damn lazy to go out and do the outreach and go to the places where we're not used to going and bringing people into the process.
Right.
But if we don't do that, all this bullshit about requirements means nothing.
And of course, I would oppose annulling religions or invalidating them. I would say you never have to. I would say that you would have to extend the electoral period to get more participation without nullifying what you've done so far. Yeah. Anyway, but. Where are we now? Farah? And then Gordon. And then we go to the straw vote, third straw vote of the day.
I just want to clarify the point that when we talk about KPFA model, we are not talking about their bylaws.
About
we are
hybrid?
only talking about the method of election.
I'm going to kill you.
Because a lot of the issues that have been expressed here have been with the bylaws, with the other issues on the bylaws of KPFA. So I feel like we could at least take a straw vote on how we feel on the KPFA model if we remove the one-third threshold, which I think is a very important issue.
I would oppose that.
You would oppose what? Cutting off the community. Well,
voting on KPFA overall under any circumstances at this point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just the election.
No. There's like a whole list of issues. I mean, we could just vote on that one threshold just because we've discussed it so much. It's a whole bunch. There's the number of signatures, there's who qualifies, there's grandfathering, there's all kinds of
No, I'm two-pagers. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking the two-pagers of... of the voting.
Program Council.
Is it none of that? That's what I'm saying.
This one page, you mean?
These two pages.
Okay, well, wait a minute. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay, Gordon?
I think it's one page.
I don't think that's here.
If it's two pages, I'm missing
I'm hoping I make sense on this, but it seems like we're always talking about KPFA's model, or we're always talking about New York's model. And what I would like is for us to actually send our model to the other stations and say, what the hell is wrong with our model? Where do you find fault? And that's my only comment.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Are there supposed to be two pieces?
Okay, so all I want right now is the third vote on hybrid model. And if this is even, you get 30 seconds, Raphael, your last chance of the day to make a point only on hybrid model. I am so not kidding. I have not had lunch, and I am not kidding.
I haven't had lunch yet.
29, 28.
I just wanted to take a brief second to relate this, all these things we've been discussing, back to the hybrid model. Obviously, you can see that a lot of people have claimed that the hybrid model is very complex, but when you actually look at the content of the KPFA model, you begin to see the complexity is everywhere, and it's not only in the hybrid model. In fact, the hybrid model simplifies this greatly, because what you're doing is you're setting up 50% of your voters to be elected from constituencies. You're guaranteed, in that case, threshold aside, plus people of color can run in the general election. So there's no problem with diversity there at all. It's resolved.
All right.
Okay, so the last vote for, you can stand there, Tom. Okay, very clearly, all those in favor of the hybrid model.
Wait a minute, I don't understand.
Okay, this is for lab members, but I mean, you're free to raise your hands. I'm counting lab members again. All those opposed. Tom's over there.
Seven.
Can we drop our hand now?
Yeah. I've got you, Vera. Thank you.
Do you have all seven?
Yeah, I have all.
Okay. All those abstaining?
No, we have an additional abstention.
No,
what are you doing, Avi? What did you do?
I voted against.
Oh, okay. So you do still have three. Doug, Quasi, and Leslie.
Okay. So that's what it is. So it's going to be 7 to 0 and 3 abstaining. And that's
0-7-3.
Oh, yeah, right. 0-7-3.
0-7-3. Okay. So thank you very much. So it failed. But okay, and that was good. Now, since in terms of the KPFA model, since we're hot and had just got off of discussing it, how about a straw poll on the 1/3 threshold?
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor of the way KPFA currently has it, raise your hands. Of 1/3 threshold. All those opposed?
Were there any in favor?
Overwhelming.
No. One, two, three, five, six, seven, eight. Okay, and then all those abstaining? Doug and Dave abstain.
Doug and Dave abstain.
Okay. That's pretty good. Okay. So, where do we go from here? No, we're looking at the... Farah, let me pass this on to you and what your recommendation is going through some of the points. You're going through the resolution?
No, that's not,
not the resolution.
That's what I was trying.
What are you doing? Article 4 of the bylaws?
Here,
okay.
Let me just give it.
Do we just copy the votes and give
it? Let me tell you.
It's just you read it. If you think we can vote on it, we can go ahead with it.
Oh, heavens no. No.
Some of it
maybe. It just says how.
Yeah, some of it we may, but let's go through maybe their resolution is even simpler. Oh, let me hold on to this in case we can get through that.
I think this is more limited because resolution has number of staff and all. This does.
Okay, but yeah, let me go through the resolution that the KPFA lab took. They also voted down, they registered their votes the opposite, but 12 opposed to it, zero in favor, and zero abstaining. That was the KPFA lab with 13 people participating of the 12 members of the lab, rather.
Not the copy, the one that was distributed at first.
That was
the whole
hybrid
one.
Okay. Their next thing is the KPFA lab endorses having all local station boards elected by proportional representation voting, with one-third of the local station boards being elected by the station paid and unpaid non-management staff, and two-thirds being elected by the station listeners, subscriber, volunteers, and with the requirement, oh, it's really long, it's a whole bunch of components.
That's not the one I'm talking about.
What number is it?
Well, I'll make a motion on that one.
No, I know. Okay, let's move on to this next one. The KPFA lab endorses the concept that the number of LSB members in each station area should be between 15 and 24. So does that mean we're accepting ranges, Dave?
I thought 24.
I think the issue is that the bylaws would be between actually 16 and 24, I believe, is what the straw vote in D.C. was, or was in Houston. One of those recent national board meetings.
Okay, and what do we want?
24.
Numbers.
24. Because then that gives 75% of voted by the listeners.
Right, but yeah, I think at some point, like right now, our lab meetings say from 12 to 24. So, like, if we were to drop below 12, you know, we'd be in trouble. We can't drop below 12. We would have to find a mechanism for the next person that was voted in or whatever.
You need to augment it 75%.
No. Anyway, but the point is, lab, do we have any strong feelings
about
the size of the lab? Membership ranging a minimum of 15 to 24? Yeah, but it doesn't have to be. It could be anything we want. I just want to know what we want.
I see this number of 15 to 24 as being the what you're shooting for. That doesn't. So if we say that we want for KPFK, we want 15 people on the lab, and we have 12, that doesn't mean we're in bad shape. We need to put three people on. That's all.
No, it affects. It affects the election model. It means that then you go back to your election rolls and pick the next three
right.
people. But we have to come up with magic numbers.
Right. And I think both of the bylaws were 15
to 24.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have no objection to 15 to 24. Does anybody have any objections to 15 to 24? Okay. All those in favor of 15 to 24, we're just trying to find the things we can agree on. Raise your hand.
All those who think it's late.
What are we voting
on? We're raising our hands now, Dave.
Can we just reaffirm
Well, we want to do something that's going to actually be voted on there. Some of those things were off point.
Have to vote between 15 to 24.
Are you in favor of 15 to 24?
Yeah, sure, fine.
Yeah, he is. Okay, good. So we've got one thing.
That was unanimous.
12 to 23.
Per diem, have we voted on that?
Oh God, 50%. All these other things seem to require a lot of conversation.
Oh yeah, like at large members.
That's one of the things. Okay, we should go over some of the issues that the IPMB voted on. Leslie has that list from last night, right?
We'll pass it around.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of emails about the at large thing. Harrison. Are you writing it down? You said yes.
A strategic thing to do at this moment, I think, is to pass what we've already passed, which the lab has already decided, which is program council. We have this. You have a few months ago. You decided that you would have an empowered programming council. We are working toward that end at this moment. We need to have that provision in the bylaws. And we need to take that, we need to re-enunciate that position.
Right. But can I take a quick vote? Okay, let's do that one first. Programming council, I think it's already made its way into the provisional draft that's been drawn up, saying that there will be program councils.
Only at the national.
Only national.
That's what I'm saying. At the national
level.
I know that. No. I thought I saw something in the draft, in the last draft, the Rob Robinson one that put out, that there was a one-liner in there about program councils at local stations, but it simply did not articulate what they would be, or if they would be under the lab or the station. Isn't that the problem? Yeah. Okay. Right. And some of the issues that we're going to go into about that, do you want to take this up now? Okay. So some of the issues that are where they differ, for example, KPFA lab, the programming council comes out of and is developed at the station level. Gordon, you disagree with that statement, or you just
disagree with
that concept? Okay.
Yeah,
okay. And then here, in terms of just our interim one, we had developed it out of the lab with the listeners, et cetera. You know what the dynamic was because we spent a whole day on it. But anyway, so that, you know, that can set the stage here, is we should take a straw poll perhaps first, or you want to do your presentations first around this? Did you guys develop presentations around program council? And Farah, do you have something from Shrina? What did you want to do? Didn't you just bring it up and put it on the table? And aren't I honoring that? Oh, you did at large? You did program council?
They want a reaffirmation of the unity proposal.
You have passed a resolution about programming council. I think all you need to do is to reaffirm that at the local level.
Do we have copies before us on that? If not,
a point of information. Are you, Harrison, referring to the votes that Leslie Radford facilitated for us?
No.
Yes.
Yes, I think
no,
so.
No, but that was the composition of an interim program council.
No.
Loyola Law School, we did like 5 or 6 points out of
the
unity proposal.
That's the one.
That wording...
I answered your question.
And so we're asking that wording be part of the bylaws.
No.
And
I'm sorry.
Yes. Harrison, yes. That was the final.
Confusion.
Final
clarify, since I've been involved in both of these.
But do you have the wording?
And now we're starting to break up, and if we get too chaotic, we're adjourning.
Okay, I've been involved in 2 votes on program councils. One was an interim program council, and that was done a couple meetings ago. One was some time ago, which was the 5 points of unity that this lab put forward, which included the KPFK unity proposal wording on program councils. I think that's what we're discussing now. No, I don't have it with me, I'm afraid. But if somebody else... you've got your unity proposal with you?
Sure.
But Lindsay, if you voted once, why do we need to vote again?
So we're going to have to vote it again in December. And the thing is are we going to vote it?
All I'm saying is our lab already recommended that as a model.
Did you say this to Shrina?
I don't know what Shrina is.
Oh, she said she had talked to you before the meeting. Okay.
No.
Never mind. Okay, while you guys work all of that out, we're going to go into at large. Now, this is what came up at the IPMB. Dave Furtick?
Sorry?
Okay. How many at large people were proposed at the national board meeting? Was it 3?
It looks here as
3. Okay, at the IPMB last week, they proposed that 3 at-large people could be put on the national board without having been elected, but they could be voted on by 3 labs. Did they end up with 3 labs? 3 out of 5 labs. So an at-large person could be nominated for the national board to vote them on to the... to the national board. I firmly oppose that, but we should absolutely. I mean, if we're either going to go to elections and honor the people that are on that board are elected, or we're not. And I think even the people on this board who were looking at grandfathering are saying, yeah, we're going to be grandfathered, but we're perfectly supportive of also of being elected, so that you can say, okay, these are the people that may be grandfathered. In our case, it's very few that will be left. But so we won't even meet the threshold. But nevertheless, is that everybody should be elected. That's how I feel about it. But everybody can chime in. I just don't think we can go back to having a national board or having people just start nominating people at large with also without the experience. Many of us have already talked about working with someone for a year before they even go to national, so that there is some knowledge of how they work. They can be wonderful. We've had the experience on this board. Today we just voted somebody off that is one of the best organizers and activists, a wonderful, wonderful person, doesn't have the time. So how people work, the amount of time they're able to, not willing to, but able to devote, and the kind of work that they do in committee, all of those things. You can have like a wonderful anarchist, right, who can't work in committee or something. I mean, or who may be the best person to work in committee. You just never know. But until you have that common experience, I do not see how three labs in different regions can nominate an at-large person or can bring one onto the board and then have that same old national board doing this. So, but Dave is going to speak to the opposite.
Not necessarily.
What is this?
Not necessarily. No, I think we need to bifurcate this issue because there's really two fundamental questions. First of all, the general overall question of whether there should be at-large directors carries with it some assumptions that the at-large directors would be those that, as Carol Spooner and others argued, are brought on because of a particularized skill or perspectives, experience, and so forth. I think that's somewhat elitist, and I think it also is rather condescending to the pool of candidates who are otherwise becoming a board through the local boards. However, I think the bifurcation should occur on the issue of affiliate representation on the national board. I personally have, in looking at this issue, feel very strongly that, look, affiliates are currently about 60 stations that regularly carry...
Okay, Dave, that's a separate issue.
No, it's not.
Yes, it's a separate issue. It's the next item
okay.
to be discussed.
My point is, okay, Lydia's saying it's a separate issue, that if we foreclose at-large directors, we should still be able to discuss the notion of affiliates coming in as at-large directors, because that's the only mechanism to bring in an affiliate representative onto the board that does not otherwise empower the affiliates to become, quote, members of the corporation, creating all sorts of complications in terms of how they, get affiliate representatives on the national board. So I think the at-large mechanism is good for that purpose alone.
Okay, and he's talking about mechanisms, and I'm talking about the individual at-large seats, okay? Because they had voted affiliates before they had voted this at-large seat situation. So I'm saying first, regular at-large people, the affiliates brings with it another set of problems that I also object to. But the first with at-large, can we get a sense of the board? Who am I missing?
A lot of people.
Several people.
I'm here. Well, you're only
Leslie.
Missing
no,
Leslie.
Leslie.
We miss her too.
Here she is. She's right
okay.
here.
At large.
All those in favor.
Okay. All those in favor of at large as proposed at the IPMB meeting, raise your hands.
A resounding no.
Resounding no. All those opposed?
A resounding yes.
Wait, no, we've got some abstaining people.
Bernie, step away from the table.
Step away from the table.
You must have been hell in school.
There's nine with one abstaining.
Nine abstaining? Okay. Okay. You'll give me these votes tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they are? Okay. Then the next thing is affiliates, as long as what's his name?
Dave
brought it up. Okay, affiliates. Some of the issues raised in relation to affiliates is their business partners. There has been nothing said about diversity requirements as applied to those affiliates, which I do not believe are diverse. But beyond that, it's a conflict of interest. I believe, a conflict of interest. But other people should speak to this.
I need thoughtful instruction in my role.
That affiliate thing needs a little clarity.
None of these bylaws seem to address the idea of cultivating new 6th and 7th and 8th stations in this network. And one of the ways you do that is when they come in whole cloth, they have the same rights of all members of all the five stations, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to see affiliates come in some substandard situation, because then there's no real energy to just join the, join this tremendous experiment.
Okay, Don and Tom, but someone needs to address the affiliate situation. Does someone want to address affiliates as well as why KPFA brought it up, which is their specific relationship with KFCF, which was, kind of a unique thing, but nevertheless.
Yeah, I would have difficulty actually voting on this because there are so many unanswered questions. For instance, there are 100, if I'm not mistaken, there are 100 affiliates.
About 60.
60? Well, I have heard that there are 100 affiliates that used to carry Amy when...
It's Democracy Now, but right now there's about 60 affiliates.
60, okay.
What percentage of programming would be carried to be defined as...
Well, thank you so much.
That is a good question.
That is a good question. For instance, how is an affiliate determined? Do they simply buy Pacifica Air, programming? I mean, that does not give someone an opportunity, or in my judgment, does not give them a right to help govern a network simply because they're a customer, So the only way but I'm obviously just one lonely, isolated vote out here at the end of the table, but the only way I could is to have a non-voting board member, one, representing some kind of an association of Pacifica affiliates. But I am against giving the affiliates governance over the network. Most of them, in my judgment, are really customers who buy programs and are not really involved in our network and therefore should not be governing it.
I agree.
Well, I think... I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tom and then Dave.
I agree with Don on this tremendously, and I think that the first thing we do is vote against this affiliate thing the way it's written, because it's wide open. And then we say we vote for one affiliate who's non-voting. So I'd make that motion.
I vote for that.
Okay.
Yeah, for clarification, okay, I think that the proposal...
Would you second that, by the way?
Yeah, but the caveat. Let's hear David's comment, and then I'll second that.
Somebody second.
Well, the proposal of the national board was that an affiliate rep be nominated by the, say, for example, 60 affiliates, either in whatever fashion they deem appropriate. Then we get these nominees, and the national board then selects amongst them. And I think that the notion that it needs to be ratified by, say, 3 out of the 5 labs, whatever, is appropriate. But I do argue with the characterization of the affiliates as customers. These people, they pay us money to use the programming that Pacifica develops and then promotes it. It takes our message to areas where we do not have signal. I think our job is not to run a goddamn business. Our job is to get the word out. Our job is to spread the word, as it were, and not to protect and zealously guard our special product and only milk it out to people. We'd give it away for free if we thought they'd run it, I should think. We should damn well consider doing so, because we need to get this stuff out on the air. So I don't look at affiliates as customers, but rather as colleagues.
Would they have governance then?
The point is that... I'm sorry, Bernie, but thank you. You'll get to talk a few times later, I'm sure. The point is that...
I don't have anything to say about it.
All right.
I would want to take to the national board the sense of this lab in whatever regard, but I think it needs to be well informed. I'm concerned that after 4 hours today that we don't have... And I was certainly knowing that the local advisory board... Or not knowing, but as I gather, the local advisory board is either against or unclear on this issue, that I would urge the national board to refrain from concluding on it. I would not take my position solely without guidance from the lab, but I think we need more time. I don't think today is the time to talk about it.
Lydia, can I talk? Yes. And then I just want to chime in since the mic is going. This way is that I think that another overwhelming criteria here is that we don't know who these affiliates are. We don't know if they have elected people You know, we don't. We would have to go through exhaustive mechanisms in order to guarantee that they would be in keeping with the Pacifica mission. We can't even get our own membership staff and programmers to be in keeping with the Pacifica mission. Imagine with affiliates, and we don't know which of the programming they would carry. I mean, if they only carry Radio Nation or something, you know, it's like I know that they do, but I'm just saying theoretically, right? Is that we have to just be cognizant of all of those things, whether it requires our tabling the situation or right now I'm comfortable supporting what Tom proposed. But anyway, here's Farah.
It's been seconded, so that's the motion.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying I'll vote for it.
You know, guys, I'm really contradicted here as far as this issue is concerned. If you remember when there was a takeover of Pacifica, the those groups that help the Free Speech News Network to be heard were the affiliates. Also, it was the affiliates that helped KPFA to broadcast Democracy Now! When Democracy Now! Was banned from various stations. So it is an issue that we need to look into, and I would suggest that we do not vote on it right now. It's okay. Complicated. It's something that really has to deal with other takeovers when such issues come up. So let's look at the history and look into it. I'm not for or against it. I'm contradicted myself.
Okay, and I would just like to say one more thing, is that another issue is the web streaming of the various things like entities like WBIX or locally here, KPFX, and others that have wanted to be part of something. At the most, I would go for, again, non-voting sitting on the board, you know, and which I can understand because of they did play a historic role and so on and so forth, but still, even that would be, you know, a cautious situation. Anyway, another
privilege.
Yes,
I need to just,
yes, because Don.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I'm sure everyone in the room has wished they could retract at least one word they have said publicly. You know, I do regret using the word customer because that is a corporate term, and I do not see the affiliates as customers. I don't know why I use that term.
Because you got it from me.
Did I? Did I hear you say that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's all boo and hiss Lydia. But I was actually in Tucson. I was in Tucson and woke up to Amy Goodman when we had no signal in Tucson. It was an affiliate. And so I have enormous respect for
affiliates.
The network of affiliates that broadcast Pacifica. So I want to retract that term. But I am going to continue to say that I could only like support the affiliates maybe having a non-voting position on the board that somehow they choose collectively. I was under the impression at one time we had nearly 100 affiliates that were carrying.
At one point.
Because Amy was part of Pacifica, but now that she's...
That's right. That's right. So I stand corrected. We're under 100. But,
I want to see Democracy.
Yeah, but I do not think of them as customers, but a valuable network of stations that carry Pacifica programming. But I still oppose them being a major part of our governance, but I would support their input.
Why can't we just start with a non-voting?
Well, what I'm saying is there are two things on the table, and I don't know whether if anyone seconded. Are you making a motion to table?
I second. It was moved to second. I'd like to change that. Let's table it for the time being.
Would anybody else second it for me?
I second the table.
wait, you can't do that. You're the mover of the tabling.
I didn't move to vote on the affiliate issue because I think it's
okay. Well, Tom's first of all, Tom's motion came first, so we have to deal with that first.
I remove the second. I remove the
okay,
second.
Let's just go to that. Okay, Tom's motion. You want to restate it?
Yes.
My motion was to bifurcate this first. Vote down the KPFA one, which says give them three open seats. The second motion would be to give them one seat that is non-voting. And if they want to have a better motion that, you know, later on they can put in the bylaws, but this motion, the way it's written,
very bad. So that's why. And I would love to have somebody second it.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of... Okay, all those in favor... All those against... No, the first one is... All those against the KPFA voting of three seats, one of which would be... Or it doesn't specify. Anyway, an affiliate seat. We did the at-large one. So this would really be the second half of... It's not the way they worded it. All those... So, in other words, if you're against having affiliates as voting members on the national board and having a seat reserved for them, raise your hand.
Okay.
Is that clear?
Yes.
No.
If you're against having an affiliate voting as a voting member of the national board, raise your hand.
Right, that's correct.
So we got one, two, three, four, five, six.
What about us?
Wait a minute. They keep your hands up till she catches us. And we thank Marty for doing this painting. We have such an accurate record of how we're voting.
But give her money. Applause doesn't quite do it.
Nose?
Give me some money.
That would be 5-4. Okay, we need to take up a collection for the website.
Let's finish the vote.
Okay, but we can start passing the bucket. Anyway, okay, so the second one.
No, you got to get to the nose and the extension.
Oh, the nose? All those opposed? In other words, all those in favor of having an affiliate?
Yeah, favor of having an affiliate.
One.
The ones in favor.
One.
Okay.
And all those abstaining?
One, two, three, four.
That's the
two
ones
that you're abstaining. Oh, we're still on that.
Yeah.
I thought we were in the second
row.
Okay.
Farah,
two abstentions.
Quasi,
no,
and Ami. Farah, Quasi, no. Ami. Farah, Quasi, that's abstain, yeah, and Ami. Okay.
Second motion.
Second motion, which is to have the affiliates have a non-voting seat at the IPMB.
A single
but seat.
That doesn't vote.
Non-voting.
Okay.
At the IPMB.
Can I ask you to modify it? Since already the vote has been that the seat be non-voting if any seat be, that there be a seat for the affiliates.
That makes sense.
We want to make it really clear.
Well, because I would vote for there to be a seat. And the vote was already made. The lab has expressed its desire that the seat be non-voting. But that there be a seat at all, I would support. But that it be a non-voting seat, I would not. It's already bifurcated. I mean, you're loading down the second motion with a term that has already been decided.
No, because I can easily see you voting for just the seat. And then then that just ends up being like a voting seat.
I saw you vote against yourself at the IPMB meeting.
Anything is possible. You voted against the hybrid, and then you voted for it for sake of discussion.
I voted for unity on the national board. I voted for cooperation.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's call for the vote.
Anyway, okay, can we call for the vote?
Unlike some people.
All those in all those. I'm not on there. All those in favor of one seat for non-voting member affiliate at the national board.
Voice, not vote.
Yes.
Lydia, yes. And Tom?
Yes. Of course.
Okay. No other yeses. Nobody down there. Okay.
Okay.
Those against.
those against. In other words, those in favor of their... This would be Dave. Those in favor of their having a vote.
No.
Right. Sorry, I'm confusing myself. Right. Okay. So those against.
So that there should not be.
Those against a non-voting seat for the affiliate.
Exactly.
What? Yeah, against a
non-voting seat
for
the affiliate.
Those for non-voting seats and those against a non-voting.